You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show on Indy's Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports. Good morning, race fans, and welcome back, finally, to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. It's been a while, ladies and gentlemen. We were on spring break, but we're back. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. I'm always joined by the biggest Jeff Gordon fan I know, Maxwell Gilley. How are you doing today, Max?
Doing good, doing good. It's great to be back. Great to be back.
Lastly, the biggest Purdue fan I know, second team in history to be upset by the 16 seed as a number one seed. Garrett, I'm sorry about that, buddy.
Made history, baby.
You did.
Made history.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yes, sir.
But I'm joined by the biggest Purdue fan I know, GB Graf's Garrett Burkle.
How you doing? Good morning. Good morning. Ready to talk about that fabulous IndyCar race
we saw
in Texas.
Much agreed. Much agreed. Also, I'm joined by the great Owen Poley here, ladies and gentlemen. Owen, what's up, bud?
Nothing much.
You excited?
Yeah.
All right, good deal, buddy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to dive right into your NASCAR news. Here we go with the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. What a race, Max. What an exciting race. I mean, you had Nick Sanchez. He won both stages for Rev Racing. Looked like the dominant truck all day to win the race, but we're coming to one lap to go, and Zane Smith and Nick Sanchez make contact. They both end up wrecking out of the race. Christian Eckes is involved. Nick Sanchez finishes in the 16th position, 14th for Zane Smith, and Carson Hocevar comes out with the win at Texas. What are your thoughts?
Happy for Hocevar. He's been a great driver to see. He has a good story there, but man, for Sanchez, that's just the culture of the truck series. It's one of those things where you just need to survive all the younger guys who, frankly, aren't having nearly as much experience and are making some, we can almost say rookie moves for a lot of them. That's why you see guys just absolutely, when someone has hit the wall, just absolutely spear them because they're not paying attention. So big thing there with the truck series is they have a serious problem with some of the guys in there. And it just sucks for Nick Sanchez, but hey, congrats to Hocevar.
Yeah, we're coming to a white flag, and Hocevar, you know, he tries to make it three wide, tried to pass, you know, Sanchez and Zane Smith, and then Sanchez just tries to, you know, block, and then he just comes right over the nose, and then he gets, and then Sanchez goes around and tags Zane Smith. So, I mean, Hocevar, he said in his interview how he, you know, felt bad for wrecking Sanchez, but, you know, he really didn't do technically anything wrong. I mean, it's not like he just, you know, moved him out the way and just wrecked him for the win. He did feel bad in that interview.
Yeah, it's good to see that. Hocevar, like I said, it's a great story. He had to come back from the leg injury last season.
Qualified on pole at Sonoma.
Exactly. So I'm always rooting for him, so I was happy to see he got the win.
Yeah, he's came close to a couple wins in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, finishing second a few times, but I'm glad now he finally got the victory. Some stories from the Truck Series that I want to bring out. Haley Deegan finishing sixth. Good run for her for Thor Sport. Racing, her best result of the season. And then I'm going to say Ben Rhodes. Ben Rhodes hits the wall with, you know, we're coming down to the final stretch of the race. He goes a lap down, and then he ends up finishing 10th. I mean, what else you got to say about Ben Rhodes? He's a great driver. I mean, you could come down a pit road, you're a lap down. I mean, he did have some of those cautions come in late that kind of helped him, but, I mean, making all those positions up to finish 10th, it's quite impressive in the few laps he had.
There's a reason why he's always a contender in the Truck Series playoffs. He has shown that he is one heck of a driver. I'm excited to see what comes next for him because I'd like to see him move up in the Truck Series next season.
And then Ty Majeski for Thor Sport Racing finishing 4th. A great day for Thor Sport Racing. Three other trucks finishing the top 10, one in the top 5. Then you have Ryan Vargas, who doesn't really make a lot of, you know, truck starts. He's more of an Xfinity guy, but finishing 8th, pretty impressive for Ryan Vargas.
So he's had to be with new equipment this year with somewhat of a limited schedule. So I'm happy to see that he is getting a decent result. He's a great story for NASCAR.
Great social media presence as well.
Exactly, and that's something sponsors and teams should have more of their drivers pay attention to that aspect, because if you want to get sponsors and you want to get people to root for your truck, buy your merchandise, social media is the name of the game, and Ryan is one of the great ones at that. So he also happens to be a talented driver, just had some difficult equipment the last few years, but I'm excited to see that he got a top 10, and I'd love to see him eventually progress further and further up the NASCAR ladder again.
Agreed, buddy. Moving on to some more Truck Series news. Joey Logano going to be driving for Thor Sport Racing for the Bristol Dirt Race. Man, I'm excited for this Bristol Dirt Race. I'm a fan of it. He's driving Thor Sport Racing equipment. They won with Ben Rhodes in 2022. I mean, it's exciting. It's very exciting for Thor Sport. You're getting a two-time NASCAR Cup Series champion to be driving one of their trucks.
I mean, you got a Logano driver who has been very good at Bristol on dirt. So if I was to...
He even won there.
Exactly. If I was to make a prediction, I would say that Joey Logano would be the driver to pick. I would be absolutely shocked if any truck is able to beat him, unless he gets into, like, someone hits him into the wall and ends his day. It's going to be Joey Logano.
Yeah, Hang Ten Car Wash going to be sponsoring that truck for Thor Sport Racing. We also have another Cup Series guy going to be racing in the dirt race for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series at Bristol Motor Speedway. Chase Briscoe, the local Indiana native from Mitchell, Indiana, will be joining AM Racing for the Craftsman Truck Series race at Bristol.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I do not see him winning as much as I would with Joey Logano. That just goes back still to the lack of experience. But hey, it's always intriguing seeing the Cup Series guys back in the Truck Series. So let's see what he can bring.
Thoughts and prayers go out to Dean Thompson. He was involved in a serious crash at Texas Motor Speedway this past weekend. Here's what happened, ladies and gentlemen. So his truck slammed the outside wall, and then it slid onto the track, and then most of the oncoming traffic avoided him. And then Matt Mills and then Trey Hutchins hit his truck, T-boned his truck. I mean, thoughts and prayers go to Dean Thompson as he was put on a stretcher to go to the ambulance.
That's why there needs to be a culture change with the Truck Series for a lot of these guys. It's similar to the ARCA series for the fact that you pay to get in just to pretend to be a NASCAR driver when you're not nearly ready to do so yet. So we got a lot of young guys there making some interesting, is the nice way I'll put it, decisions. So I really think we need to see some changes, and we need to see some restrictions or heavy penalties for guys making issues like this, because we're glad to see that Dean Thompson is with us right now. There's a lot of great safety there, but you can't every single week have it be a demo derby. I know that's what people want to see maybe from a TV perspective, but from a racing perspective, it is not a good investment if you're going to have your truck get fixed every single week because someone just decides to make a boneheaded move.
And the thing was, Dean Thompson was running up in the top five most of the day, in the top 10. He was having a career day, and just a career day for Tricon Motorsports with, you know, Taylor Gray and Tanner Gray. They were all up in the top 10, and so was Corey Heim. They were all up there. And it just, after Dean Thompson crashed, it just went to disaster for Tricon Motorsports. So we're going to move on to the NASCAR Xfinity Series. From Richmond Raceway, Chandler Smith wins at Richmond Raceway. Max, what are your thoughts?
Congrats to him on getting a win. Younger guy in the Xfinity Series, but great to see some competitive cars there. So, I mean, Richmond is always a interesting short track race, so we get to see that guy get the win. So, congrats.
I have some stories from that Richmond race. Kaz Grala for Sam Hunt Racing finishes fourth. Wow. I mean, We watched him at GMS Racing when he was, you know, doing that. He raced for the trucks. I mean, he finished in the top 10 in points that year. I forgot what year it was for the trucks, but he, you know, we thought he was going to be real. I mean, if he would have stayed in the trucks, I don't know what happened, but I mean, we saw potentially one at Daytona. And then, you know, he was really consistent most of that year at GMS Racing in the trucks when he did. And then I just kind of things just, He was going to go up to Xfinity, and things just kind of just not really fell into place the way he wanted to. And he's raced some one-off races, but now he's back full-time in the Xfinity Series for Sam Hunt Racing. What are your thoughts, Max?
This is exactly what Kaz Grella needed. You saw most recently he was with TMT Racing, the money team, with the Floyd Mayweather car last year to start the year. So he's had some cup experience before, too, but he is one of those guys who I really do think can be talented in the Cup Series in the future. He's just one of those guys that still needs more experience in the Xfinity Series. You see a lot of guys now get rushed up to the Cup Series, go with a team that usually finishes near the back of the field.
Underfunded team.
Exactly, and then they end up getting that guy's career nearly dead just because the fact that there are no finishes. And if you're a sponsor, you're not going to really want to get the guy who consistently underperforms just because of a lack of equipment. So with Grella now, he can once again get some more experience, get some more exposure, and if he can keep being competitive, hopefully he'll get a good ride.
Yeah, agreed, Max. Some other stories from the Xfinity Series race. Cole Custer finishing fifth for Stuart Haas Racing, his first top 10 of the season, first top 5 of the season as well. It must be good to be Cole Custer right now. Things did not look good early coming into this Xfinity Series season.
No, and you look at someone like Cole Custer, he was in the Cup Series, got back to the Xfinity Series. That's what he needed. He really had been struggling in the Cup Series. So, I mean, congrats to him for finally getting a good performance. This is what he needs if he wants to have a chance to go back. So he can isn't going to become one of those guys who's in the Xfinity Series for like 10 straight years.
Yeah, agreed. Another great story, Parker Kligerman finishing 8th at Richmond Raceway. What a great story for him. I mean, he almost won at Atlanta, and he finishes 4th going backwards on that restrictor plate oval. Great. I mean, Parker Kligerman, you know, with the equipment he has, he is really, you know, he's a really talented driver. He's up. I mean, that, you know, that car last season was not up anywhere near the top 10 whatsoever. And, you know, Park Clearman doing a fantastic job.
I mean, that's the biggest thing here. He is one of those guys who I think deserves to be in the Cup Series. He has shown that he can be competitive. If he gets with a team that has some decent equipment, I think he could be making some noise. And he's great personality. He can do TV as well. He'll be reporting sometimes for NBC when he's not racing. I know he likes to do that during the Rolex. And he's known for his famous weather reports where he just points to the ground and says that it's raining because there's water there. But he is a great TV personality and even better driver. So I always root for him, man.
You never know if he wouldn't have had that injury when he was racing the Cup Series. He could be, you know, still in the Cup Series. It kind of, you know, you get an injury like that, it kind of sets you back. But I mean, Park Kligerman just, you know, still being really, he's just, you know, really working towards, you know, getting back to the Cup Series after he was in the Cup Series and had that injury. Just persevering. You are, this is WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. You are listening to All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. We're talking about NASCAR news from Richmond Raceway. Derek Krause finishing 10th in his first Xfinity Series debut for Colleague Racing. Just a great day for Colleague as he was racing in the trucks, and then he got replaced by Christian Eckes at Billy McIndoe Racing. Max, what are your thoughts on Derek Krause?
Congrats to Krause. He had some great equipment there, and that's the real test if you want to be able to get a full-time ride. Is when you're given good equipment, you have to finish well. That's what he did. I hope we can see him get a full-time ride in the future. It was frustrating to see that he didn't get the full-time Truck Series ride with his old team. So excited to see what he can bring now.
Just a great day overall for Colleague Racing. Chandler Smith finishing first and Derek Krause finishing 10th. Both your cars in the top 10. And then the week before, you won with A.J. Allmendinger at Circuit of the Americas. Just, you know, it's been a great stretch of momentum for Colleague Racing. Justin Allgaier won the Dash for Cash, finishing in the 13th position at Richmond. So, you know, some good luck coming towards Junior Motorsports. That has been a very rough opening to the Xfinity season.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it the last couple shows, just how there was a real culture issue, it would seem, with Junior Motorsports. So, I mean, hey, congrats to Junior Motorsports for getting some more cash. It's not like they needed it, but they ended up getting it anyway. So, yeah, it's a interesting thing when you see someone finish 13th and get the dash for cash. That would show that there maybe needs to be some changes with that formula. If you can have a guy finish out of the top 10 and get the bonus, I think you should be, if you're going to try and get a bonus like that, you have to at minimum be top 10.
I see it, Max. I see your point. Moving on to the NASCAR Cup Series at Richmond Raceway, Kyle Larson finally, ladies and gentlemen, wins the NASCAR Cup Series this season at Richmond. It was his first win at Richmond Raceway. Max, what are your thoughts?
Just shows how, once again, the Hendrick cars are the ones to beat. Kyle Larson is a heck of a racer, as is Kyle Busch. We'll talk about him being a contender later. But, you know, Kyle Larson, he's been struggling as of late. He's not going to have a season like he had when he won the Cup Series championship just a few seasons ago, where he was oh so dominant each and every single race. It's a
way different car than what he was driving then.
And it feels like just all of Hendrick is a bit more
competitive
too.
William Byron especially. He looked on track to win at Richmond, and then he gets then we see that Christopher Bell, Ross Chastain tries to make a move down into one and two, tries to go three wide, and Bell had really nowhere to go, and then slides right up into Byron. Byron led a race high of 150 laps, over 150 laps during that race. I believe he won a stage. I think he won a stage or two during that race. Might have to fact check me on that, ladies and gentlemen. But he was extremely competitive. He was the car to beat all day. William Byron was. Just unfortunate what happened to him. So another great story. Josh Berry, the short track legend, finished a second for Hendrick Motorsports, subbing in for the injured Chase Elliott. What a story for Josh Berry. And, you know, it comes at a track that he's very familiar with, and he knows how to get it done at a short track like Richmond Raceway.
This is one of the guys that I root for each and every single season, and I think this year he has finally shown that, hey, he's ready for the Cup Series. I don't think it even matters about type of equipment. I think this guy is a true racer. It's not one of those guys who coasts just with great equipment. He can do it with underfunded team. He can do it with a very funded team, like a top team like Hendrick. So, I mean, I always root for him. He's a heck of a guy, and I really hope we can see him next season with a full Cup Series ride. I mean, I'd be absolutely shocked.
Junior Motorsports is really working to get a charter so they can, you know, field a team for the NASCAR Cup Series next season. So maybe Dale Jr. preaches about him every day. What a great driver Josh Berry really is.
Yeah, at this point, I don't really think there is a driver in Junior Motorsports you would really give it to other than Josh Berry. I know Allgaier's been doing it for a while, but you got to give it to Josh Berry. He has shown that he can be competitive in the Cup Series, and that's the most important part.
Shout out to Front Row Motorsports finishing sixth. Michael McDowell, what a great run for them at Richmond with a great strategy call, and they finished sixth in the race.
I mean, when you see a team like Front Row Motorsports, people just overlook them, but there's a reason why he's a Daytona 500 winner. There's a reason why you'll look every few weeks and how in the world did Michael McDowell get up there. He's a really talented racer, so I'm glad to see that he ends up getting a top 10 finish.
Last season was his best overall career season, statistically, last season with the new next-gen car.
That's the goal of this next-gen car,
agreed,
is to make everything more competitive. This season doesn't seem like it as much when you have Hendrick Motorsports
just dominating,
being just as dominant as everything else, and getting away from penalties and stuff. But that's fine. That's fine. We're not complaining there whatsoever. But no, I'm glad to see McDowell end up getting that top 10.
Ty Gibbs finished his ninth at Richmond Raceway for Joe Gibbs. He needed a really good run. Especially, as you know, as a rookie coming this season, his first season in the Cup Series, you know, Started out a little, you know, rough at the beginning of the season, but things are starting, you know, pick up and get better for Ty Gibbs as he makes the switch over to the NASCAR Cup Series for Joe Gibbs Racing.
He's a guy who's used to being a winner entirely, and now in a field that is actually competitive each and every single week, he's going to be struggling. I'd like to see him get a win, but realistically in the first year, I don't think that can happen unless there's like a big one at a super speedway and he ends up taking the lead like that. But hey, the biggest thing now, you're a rookie, you just got to keep trying to get top 15s and top 10s each and every single week, and your sponsors will be happy.
I have something about Denny Hamlin, who finished 20th at Richmond Raceway. Not a great day for Denny Hamlin. Here's what happened with Denny Hamlin. This is the big controversy of what's going on. On lap 45, he had two speeding penalties. I know he had a speeding penalty for sure. I know he had some, you know, I believe it was two penalties on pit road. So on lap 45 of 400, Denny Hamlin was going to go three wide, and then J.J. Yaley, he races, you know, kind of these one-off races in the NASCAR Cup Series, crowded Hamlin, and then, you know, Hamlin basically just turned him going into turn one and two, and this is what Clint Bowyer had to say about it. Couldn't have seen it any better. It was off the front bumper. The guy who we're riding with and listening to, this is just, you know, as stated in the Fox booth, stuff like that. And then Bowyer added, yeah, that was a very much on purpose. I don't know why, but very much on purpose. And then J.J. Yaley said this. I don't know if there could have been anything from a guy who's been preaching respect for the last couple of weeks. Seemed really silly on lap 32.
Yeah, Denny Hamlin has been in the news a lot more, and it's never been good news with him. He's definitely on the watch list now for NASCAR. So, I mean, people were wondering last season if he was going to retire. I don't know if this is a way, just if this could be a way he gets out early just out of frustration, but it has not been the season Denny Hamlin has wanted at all. And this is not what his sponsors are going to want, and that's the biggest thing. At the end of the day, it all comes down to sponsors, not just racing talent. So if I was a sponsor, I'd be frustrated if each and every single week there seems to be a controversy with him. So keep an eye out on that.
Yeah, Denny Hamlin, he had definitely a car to win at Richmond. Just bunch of bad luck for Denny Hamlin. Martin Truex Jr. had a dominant car most of that race at Richmond until Tyler Reddick spins out and he has used all of his fresh tires, and he has to come in to put 11 or 7 lap scuffs on. And he crosses the line, finishing 11th. This is what, you know, Truex had to say about it. So you didn't tell me you put on scuffs. He's talking about James Small. Truex surprisingly revealed. So I didn't know what, obviously can't say that word, was wrong. Okay, Jesus, that's what he said. And then James Small goes on to talk about, there's no point in telling you. We were blank either way. Small dejectedly answered in the last radio communication between the pair. It was just a terrible day for the 19 camp.
That is not what you want to hear from your driver, and just seeing an argument like that. I feel like at this point, there needs to be a change there. Martin Truex Jr. has not been in the competitive way as of the
couple years ago. He hasn't really been happy, really, either.
No, and he's a guy who can be competitive. He's a Cup Series champion for a reason.
You just can't be doing that on strategy. You cannot just use all your tires. Like, that is, you know, you have to at least have one more set of tires that are fresh. You never know, late race caution, but how do, like, I just don't understand how you use all of your tires up.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing, too, is in the very least, at least communicate with your driver.
Yeah, that's what I want to say. Because he just, you know, I mean, like, how are you not going to tell your driver that you're going to, you know, you're not going to tell him that you're putting on scuffs? Like, you just cannot do that. And then he's just going to go on James Small's just going on the radio and just cussing. They're all cussing each other back and forth. And then he was like, this is what Maury said at the beginning. I don't understand what you said. Truex responded, unable to hear to his crew chief, but that was pitiful. Had blank scuffed tires on there because we hosed ourselves, taking our set and stage one small, frustratingly repeated, so we were blank. Regardless, sorry, we blanked up today. And then that's just terrible. Miscommunication. I mean, they had chances to win, and he didn't even make the playoffs last season. He didn't even make the playoffs in 2022. That's just ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. I don't understand that. And you know, you he's a very competitive driver. He had shots to win, just strategy and stuff out of his control. So that is what I have a little bit more NASCAR news, and then we're done. So this is what Kyle Busch, he was speaking to the Indianapolis Star on Saturday. So this is what he insisted, that NASCAR should altogether ditch the race weekend at Indianapolis. This is what he said. But I don't know why we ever went to the road course. To be honest with you, I don't think it did an uptick or changed a blank thing at Indy. If we can't do a good enough job getting enough people to Indy to suffice us staying on the oval, then we need to go somewhere else, just like anywhere. I'll say that about any track. That is what Kyle Busch had to say about the Indy road course at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Max, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, he's saying that just because he stopped winning at the Motor Speedway. But in all seriousness, it is a interesting choice. I know why they want to do it, because it looks good to, hey, you get IndyCar and NASCAR in the same weekend, but there's an issue when it's the doubleheader between the IndyCar race and the Xfinity race, when you see a lot of people standing outside, not going to the IndyCar race, waiting for the Xfinity race, and then vice versa with IndyCar fans immediately leaving afterwards. I think that this was a just okay idea to maybe try once. It worked with the Xfinity series that one time, but I think you got to go back to the oval. I really don't see any point to continue doing that road course race for NASCAR.
Garrett, you have something on that?
Yeah, I honestly think that I agree, totally agree. I think NASCAR should have left. I think they should have left years ago. I think the last good race they put on, and I say good and more personable. I think the 2014 Brickyard was the last great one we had. You had a great guy that's from Indiana. You had a great winner in Jeff Gordon, and I think that's the last good race there. I think they were trying to just mix it up with the road course race. And the other thing is, they're not necessarily getting bad attendance, because like if you put them at like another track, it's probably, you know, mostly, you know, at least a lot of the stands look like they're packed because of just how big Indianapolis is. It looks like nobody's there. And I think that's something that people really don't take in, just because of how big the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is compared to pretty much every other track in the United States. So, I mean, I would say NASCAR, their fans got around 75,000 people to the race. I'm not exactly sure on that. But, again, it's just a bigger venue. So, obviously it looks more empty. So, yeah, I think that's something to take into account. But, again, I do agree with Kyle Busch in saying that, you know, there's really no point to race at Indianapolis, especially if you're not on the oval. But I also don't think it should be on the oval. I just think, and it's hard to say this, but I just don't think NASCAR belongs in Indianapolis. I think the race pretty much died after 2000. So,
I like seeing NASCAR there every single year. It's great seeing multiple motorsports there. But, I mean, if you watch any of the race broadcasts of the Brickyard 400 from a couple years ago, every single year, really in the backstretch, there's no one there. All of Turn 3 is just sponsorship banners just to try and show that, hey, there are aren't nearly as many people there, so There's a lot of issues. That's why they went to the road course. They were trying to just do something to get attendance to go up.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for the Motor Speedway, it has not worked. So I'd like to see them continue to do the Brickyard 400, even if the attendance isn't nearly as maybe sold out, because that's not going to happen. You rarely are going to see NASCAR sell out each and every single week. But they have good attendance now. It's better than it was a couple of years ago. But really, other than some of the Crown Jewel races and the Daytona 500 Speed Weekend, I mean, When's the last time you saw a major track completely sold out?
That's true. And I also feel like Indianapolis, if they remained on that track they were from 94 to maybe even 2008 before the whole tire gate fell out, I really do think that drivers thought Indianapolis was one of the crown jewels of the NASCAR schedule, just because of, you know, winning in Indianapolis, you know. I still think there are. I still think if you ask most of the drivers if Indianapolis is a crown jewel race, I feel like they'd say yes, but at the same time, I feel like they would say it in a way I really don't know, because I feel like they would say it in just the way that's, you know, kind of like, obviously it isn't our main crown jewel, but it's definitely a crown jewel just of auto racing in general. And, you know, even though they don't get the fans, I believe, you know, a lot of drivers still would put Indy on their priority list of winning a NASCAR, probably in their top 10, top 5-ish. But that's just my opinion. That's just what I've heard from drivers, you know, who have raced there, you know, for quite a long time. So, yeah.
I appreciate that, Garrett. I really agree with your point. It's just not the same. No. You know, a lot of the, you know, NASCAR, I'm going to be completely honest, they have not been listening to their drivers. They were not fans. A lot of them aren't fans of the next-gen car. You can go with Kevin Harvick, who spoke a lot about that. His car caught on fire from the inside. You cannot have that. A lot of drivers do not like those cars, and they also haven't been listening to them about, you know, they want to race the oval. They want to do what, you know, has been historically been at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway since 1911, racing on the oval like all the IndyCar guys do. They want to do that. They don't want to race on the road course. I don't feel, to the drivers, it's as important as racing on the road course. It's just not the same. You know, the Indianapolis 500 has been going on for 100-plus years. It's just not the same to the NASCAR Cup guys, that it's just not the same feel as racing on the oval.
I mean, the biggest thing with the road course is because so many IndyCar races, they have multiple races on that road course. So there's clearly been some issues there. So I'd like to see IndyCar really only do one, stop having two.
Yeah, I actually agree with Max's point there. I feel like if I'm the head of the Speedway, I'm Roger Penske, here's what I would do. I would totally get rid of the NASCAR IndyCar doubleheader. And the reason I would do that is because I would install lights, or maybe not necessarily install lights, but I would, you know, bring in big lights to the track, and I would run a night road course race at Indianapolis. I feel like that would be really cool, and I feel like it would draw a huge crowd as well. So I feel like that would definitely, you know, just add another great event to the IndyCar schedule.
Agreed, Garrett. Much agreed. I appreciate Max giving his input. We're going to wrap it up for the NASCAR news here. Saturday, April 8th at 8 o'clock p.m. under the lights of the world's greatest last Coliseum at Bristol Motor Speedway. The NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series will be taking on the dirt at Bristol. And then moving on to the NASCAR Cup Series, they'll be racing on Easter, Sunday, April 9th at 7 o'clock p.m. under the lights at Bristol Motor Speedway. The last great call seemed to tackle the dirt. Should be exciting weekend of racing for the NASCAR Truck Series and NASCAR Cup Series. And then the Xfinity Series won't be back on until April 15th, Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at Martinsville Speedway. You can catch that on Fox Sports 1. You can catch the truck race on Fox Sports 1 at Bristol this weekend. And you can catch the NASCAR Cup Series race on Fox at Bristol Motor Speedway this week. We're going to take a 30-second break here on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. You are listening to the All Gas No Brakes Radio Show. Coming up next is Garrett Burkle with your IndyCar news.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Welcome back, race fans, to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host again, Landon Nelson, joined by Garrett Burkle and Owen Poley. Max had to leave to interview the great Don Carlisle, who is a 2023 state champion, Ben Davis boys basketball. The Ben Davis Giants are state champions. Went undefeated this season, beating Kokomo. Also, Indiana All-Star coach. Thank you, Owen, for that. Appreciate it. Now, Garrett, take it away with your IndyCar news.
So basically, they were at Texas this week and had a very great race there. And it's one of the ones that are, you know, fans are talking about more ovals on the schedule. Please, more ovals, which I totally agree with. I think they need to. I wouldn't necessarily go back to the 50-50 split that they did in 2011. Half of them on ovals, half of them on street and road courses. I would probably make it around 6 to 7 ovals a year. Start off with that, and then if you want more, go up from there. But these were the results from the race in a very entertaining race. So first off, in 28th place, only completed 46 laps, it was Takuma Sato. He got up in the marbles and hit the wall, and unfortunately he was first out, which is not great for his Indianapolis 500 program. But I'd say come the month of May, he'll have that car up to speed for Indianapolis. In 27th place is Kyle Kirkwood, who had an incident with Rossi in the pits, which I believe was the wrong call, but that's not here nor there. So basically, Kyle Kirkwood and Rossi gotten, you know, hit each other going. Kirkwood coming to the pits, Rossi leaving, and apparently it was an unsafe release for Rossi, so they gave the penalty to Rossi. In my opinion, it was the wrong call. But again, I'm not an IndyCar official, so I really don't know. But Kyle Kirkwood did end up only completing 97 laps. In 26th place was Felix Rosenquist, who led four laps on the day. He looked pretty solid as he was the pole sitter, but again, he got into the marbles and hit the wall again towards the closing stages of the race. And then in 25th place was Stingray Rob, who only completed 208 laps, and actually, he did lead a lap. I believe he was some laps down towards the end of the race. Same with him and Graham Rahal had contact with each other. So then in 24th place, you had Graham Rahal, who completed 219 laps, and then Devlin DeFrancesco in 23rd, who completed 221 laps. And then my driver in the 22nd position, again, that incident with Kirkwood really messed up his day. But in 22nd is Alexander Rossi, again, finishing 22nd. Santino Ferrucci finished one lap down with 246 in 21st place. Same with Connor Daly in 20th place. And then the drivers that were on the lead lap, 19th was Christian Lundgaard, 18th was Jack Harvey, 17th was Simon Pagenaud. They didn't show a lot of speed throughout the weekend. Will Power had some problems as well. He finished in 16th place. Benjamin Peterson.
Great day for Benjamin Peterson.
Yeah, he finished
top 15 for AJ Foyt Racing. And you know, AJ Foyt, you know, racing equipment is not not as great equipment compared to, you know, the Penske boys and the Ganassi boys and the Andretti boys. But you know, it's just a great day for Benjamin Peterson as he had that very scary crash at St. Petersburg.
And excuse me, all these drivers are also two laps down. I messed that up. So in 14th place came Romain Grosjean, who led two laps on the day. Ed Carpenter finished 13th place. And more consistent day again, finishing a couple laps behind, but one lap behind the field. But still, pretty consistent day to get there. And then in 12th place, a guy that impressed me in his first ever oval race, Agostino Cipino from Juncos Racing, completed 249
laps. Great job.
Laps.
Great job.
Very good
Juncos
job.
Juncos Racing.
Mm-hmm. As both of their Hugo drivers.
Hollinger, yep.
Both their drivers have top 15 finishes on the year, so that's really good for them. And then in 11th place, you had Rinus VK, who finished 249 laps. And then in 10th place, the four-time Indianapolis 500 winner, Elio Castroneves. Again, his car didn't show much throughout the weekend, but again, just consistent. Didn't get in much trouble in the race, and again, finished 10th, but a lap down, but still a great day for that team. 9th place was Callum Ilott.
He's been so impressive.
He really
so
has.
Far this season.
Yep, two top 10 finishes already on the year. He actually sits, I think he's top 15 in the points, so really good for Callum Ilott. Again, finishing in the 9th place. 8th place is the points leader, Marcus Ericsson.
He's not the points leader.
Yeah, he is. That's oh, Pato is. Pato
yeah,
is.
Yeah, man, I got Pato you.
Yeah, so 17 points back from Pato is the number 8 finisher, Marcus Ericsson. In 7th, you had Colton Herta, who was the first driver on the lead lap.
One of his best,
seventh.
Probably one of the best oval finishes he's had in a while.
Yeah, for sure. Again, he's one that is very aggressive on ovals, but again, he stayed out of trouble all day and was managed to finish 7th. And someone who kind of fought through the field was 6th place, Scott McLaughlin.
Started 15th.
Yep, he again just had a pretty consistent day and again pushes his championship hopes forward. 5th place was Scott Dixon. Again, he
Mr.
looked,
consistency.
Yep, again. You can always count on Scott Dixon to get you top 15 finish and top 5 this week at Texas. In 4th place was David Malukas, who really impressed everyone just like he did last year.
I'm surprised he did stay at Dale Coyne, and he had looks from Ganassi, but he decided to stay with Dale Coyne, which that's really surprising.
Yeah, I think after Pelot leaves this season, I think Malukas will be the next guy there.
Is he going to Arrow McLaren SP?
Yep. Yep, he'll be there after the season. So, again, really good finish by David Malukas. And, again, I guess not the rookie anymore, but the young guy keeps proving everyone wrong. And then in 3rd place, your podium, you've had Alex Pelot, who looked really good throughout the day, was up there with a Ward in Newgarden towards the end of the race, but, again, was not able to get the victory. Again, really solid day from Pelot, like he's put on, you know, almost every IndyCar race he's been in. In 2nd place, you had Pato O'Ward, again, your points leader now. He had an awesome day, him and Newgarden, towards the end and throughout the race.
Duking it out, man.
Yeah, it was so awesome. So, again, you had Pato O'Ward coming in the 2nd place. Again, he has 2 second places. So again, you're right. He's on the top of the point standings, and which should be a very, you know, good finish for him this season. And then in first place, you had Joseph Newgarden, who won the race. He is actually, let me pull up the statistic real quick. Give me 1 second. I want to find this real quick because it is very, very impressive stat. Newgarden has now won at least one oval race in each of the last 8 seasons. That's the longest streak for any driver in open wheel racing since Bobby Unser 1968 through 76 and Johnny Rutherford 1973 through 81. So again, super consistent for Joseph Newgarden as he, you know, joins that list of IndyCar legends there. And again, if I think he can get an Indianapolis 500, I think he'll you know, put his place as, you know, one of the greatest drivers to ever race IndyCar.
Yeah, he's came close a few times. Just it's either bad luck or just, you know, just wrong place, wrong time for Newgarden. The car is just not great that weekend. But, I mean, Newgarden usually a threat every season when it comes to IndyCar championship. Finished second last year in the points to Will Power, his teammate. But Will Power, he was super consistent last season. Only had one win, but, I mean, he had a ton of podiums. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, he did. And then another interesting statistic from that week is that there was 1,070 on-track passes at Texas Motor Speedway this weekend. That's just incredible. And it's the second most lead changes in history. I believe the 2001 race holds the record for the most lead changes there. But again, Texas and IndyCar just, you know, showing why they're still on the schedule and why it's, again, should be one of IndyCar's crown jewel races, Texas Motor Speedway. So an awesome day and a good winner in Joseph Newgarden. And then, I'll go over the top 10 in the point standings for IndyCar right now. As, again, it will change throughout the season, obviously. But your standings in the points right now, one Pato Award, Marcus Ericsson, two. He's 7 points behind, not 17. My fault. On third place, Scott Dixon, who's 15 points behind. Newgarden, 16 points behind. In fifth place, you have Alex Palou, who's 22 points behind. In sixth place, you have David Malukas, who's 29 points behind. Then Callum Ilott, who is 30 points behind in the seventh position. McLaughlin in the eighth position, 34 points behind. Rossi in the ninth position, who's 42 points behind. Excuse me. And rounding out in 10th place, you have Will Power, who's also 42 points behind the leader.
Thank you for that, Gary. I really appreciate that with your IndyCar news. I do have some Formula One news, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to wrap up the race weekend from Australia. Max Verstappen wins again, ladies and gentlemen. No surprise for Red Bull Racing at Australia. Great result for Lewis Hamilton in Mercedes. Great result. I mean, fantastic result for Aston Martin. Alonso finishing third and Lance Stroll finishing fourth. Lando Norris finishing sixth. Great result for him. And then Oscar Piastri finishing eighth for McLaren. Double points today for McLaren. Seventh for Nico Hülkenberg for Haas. Great result for the American team for Haas. Great result for Yuki Tsunoda for AlphaTauri. And then Guanyu Zhou for Alfa Romeo finishing ninth. And then Sergio Perez, he started in the pits on lap one, finishing fifth. What a great result for him.
And a DNF for Leclerc. That DNF really does hurt Ferrari.
And I do have some interesting news. I'm going to just say it real quick. Felipe Massa to look into legal options over 2008 Formula One title outcome. Lewis Hamilton only beat him by 1 point coming in to Brazil. 98 points to 97 for Felipe Massa. Owen, do you have any thoughts on that?
Not really. I think that it was a little confusing reading it, but, you know, Hamilton had that one more point, and Massa coming into legal action, trying to think of the year, 14, 15 years later.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, Lewis is a 7-time champion. They'll probably be like, I'm going to be honest, Formula One's going to be like, no, well, you did this too late. Like, he's a 7-time champion. Because then if you remove that championship away, Lewis is a 6-time champion. So Michael Schumacher will hold the most championships in a Formula One season. That's going to wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen, for the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I want to thank Maxwell, Gilly, Owen Poley, and Garrett Burkle for always being great hosts on the show, bringing great information and great output to this radio show. I couldn't do it without them. All Gas No Brakes every Wednesday from 7:45 to 8:30. This is Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. That's going to wrap it up for All Gas and No Brakes. We'll see you later, Indianapolis. Big Nelly out!